My name is Don Coyas, and I'm from the Mohican Nation. And I'm from the Coyote clan on my father's side and the Turtle clan on my mother's side. And in our culture, whenever you introduce yourself, that's who you're supposed to say. Always tie yourself to your people. But my name is Don C. I'm an alcoholic. And so I'm really, really honored to be here and to talk about some of the things, some experiences about the steps. And maybe I'll tell you this joke I heard the other day first. Is I was told up in South Dakota by the reservation there, there's this one road it travels, they said, right along the border and on a reservation. So it's white land on one side, reservation land on the other side. And they say there's a little town there, and when the cars come through there, they have to slow down for that town. So when the cars slow down, and those dogs start chasing those cars. So on one side of that road, Indian dogs, that's where they stay. And the other side of the road is those white dogs. And so when those cars slow down like that, they said those Indian dogs, when they go chase that car, they go, and they just bark like that, you know, and that car goes behind. But on the other side of the road where the white dogs are, when they chase that car, they go, bow wow, bow wow, bow wow. So then after a little while, they were chasing these cars, these Indian dogs, you know, and these other dogs, bow wow, bow wow, bow wow. So finally, there's white dogs, they come to this Indian dogs, and they said, you know, what are you Indian dogs doing? They said, you make so much noise and stuff. Now, Indian dogs, they said, well, that's just the way Indians are. When we do something, it's all out, you know. That's why we do that. And so the white dogs, they said, that's not how you're supposed to be. He said, you're supposed to go bow wow, bow wow, bow wow. And those Indian dogs, well, I don't know. So the white dogs, they kept talking. Finally, Indian dogs, they said, well, we'll try that. So they went back to that place, and they were waiting there for a long time. And pretty soon, this car come along and slowed down like that. So all they went behind that car was the Indian dogs. You know, they was going, bow wow, bow wow, bow wow, bow wow. And when that car took off, those dog, Indian dogs, they stopped, and they looked at one another, and they went, eh? Yeah, so we'll do that with bow wow. Bow wow way. Didn't you see those dogs doing it? Yeah. When you look at the 12 steps, I think right now is a very strong time in Indian communities. And I think contrary to how we look at or have looked at things, I think there's a great healing starting to occur among our people. And in 1991, we met with some elders from the Four Directions. So we had about 40 elders. They were from North Tribes, East Tribes, South Tribes, West Tribes. And so we brought these elders together, and what we asked them to do is to spend some time with us, just talking to us about things. And so in that four-day conference, they talked to us about the earth and about the environment, but they talked to us about communities, about being Indian men, about being Indian women, things like that, about relationships. They talked about sex, about raising children, everything for 4 days. And one of the things they did talk to us about, they told us some things about prophecies. And I think for us, the prophecies is very important. They have been told, you know, stories told on over the years. And there's a prophecy, they said that that the Indian people, they said, would spend a long time in a real cold winter time of life, a real tough time, time of turmoil and confusion. And there's a prophecy. It said when the sun would get blocked in the seventh moon, that would be significant that the winter time is over. That period of time would be over. And then we as Indian people, we would enter into a new springtime, a new time for us as a people. And if you remember, maybe in that July of 1991, there was a big solar eclipse. So we had just accidentally met just about a week and a half after that solar eclipse. So we didn't know these things until they told us that. So they said that that eclipse was very significant in that, that meant we are now entering a new time. It's a new time for us as Indian people. Then they went on to say, they said that for that next 12 moons, they said that a great stirring, that the Creator was going to cause a great stirring to take place. He was going to stir it up. In that time of that great stirring, he said, the elders, they said that, there is going to be gifts is going to be given out to the people that we have not used before. And they said that during this time of this stirring, there was going to be a selection of people to help heal all the communities, all the nations. So they said that for the next 12 moons, they said that these people selected, they would go through a real mixed up time for themselves. And like a real evaluation time, kinda, that they would even that they would think that they were crazy. Like they might have their jobs and be in place doing, you know, have everything in order, but then all of a sudden, you know how you got your rug of life, and you have your careers and cars and everything, you know. They said it would be like for certain people that he would come and something would grab the edge of that rug, and it was just kind of upset everything. So you'd think you were crazy, really mixed up. And they said that those people selected that they would go through a real personal time, like they have to go through a healing time, that they would need to, even their secrets couldn't stay secrets no more. They said they would all surface, they would come up, they would arise. And then they said that that these healers, they would know something was going on. You know how sometimes you have like this urge, you just kind of know you got to go do something. Like in our tribe, there's these teachings called teachings of the warrior, and what it says is that everybody is a warrior. That's not like a battle name on television. That's a spiritual being name. And in that teachings, it says that every warrior has a song written in their heart, and that song must be sung before you die, or your soul forever remains restless. And that sometimes we have to go through life school like that. That doesn't mean just like high school or university. It means life school. And many of us know about that darn life school. Pretty tough roads. And at the time, we think that that's all bad. But maybe we are just have to do that because now we got other things to do. We need that experience. Now we have to go back and help the people. But we'd never be believable unless we went and tested that, all those things that we needed to learn. And so they said that what would happen is that a great healing would start to occur among our people. And they said a long time ago, they said the Creator came to a place called Turtle Island, and he said to the people, I'm going to divide you into four directions, he said, to a red direction, yellow direction, black direction, and a white direction. And he said to each of those directions, I'm going to give you each a certain accountability. There's some things you have to know. And so to the red direction, he said, to you, you are the keepers of the earth. That you have to go through the cycles of time and learn all the things about the earth, about land and about plants and about how everything is connected. And you're going to be given that knowledge through those times, because a day will come when you have to come and tell people those things that you know. Into the yellow direction or the yellow race, he made them to be keepers of the air. So they were to learn about breathing and about breath and all of that. And to the black direction, he gave them the responsibility to be keepers of the sacred water. They were to learn all those things about the water. And to the white direction, he said, you are the keepers of the fire. So sometimes in that direction, we think about like the light bulb. You know, those guys, you know, everything they do has got like the car, the combustion engine's got like that firepower in the middle. And they said that what the Creator said was that the day would come, he called it the coming together time, that when the springtime would arrive, then we would all need to come together, sit in a circle, and that we would need to start share this knowledge and this wisdom that each one has, because everybody is going to know something about this healing part. Everybody has a part in that. And we, White Bison, we work in a lot of different native communities around the country. And we are starting to see, wherever we go, we are seeing that the healing is starting to occur among our people. There's even people coming home that they get discontent where they are and they're coming home to help and make a difference. We're seeing it all over the place, that that these circles are starting together. So I just thought I would just share a little bit about that, because I think that when they have like a first conference, Red Road Conference, that's very, very significant, because that's a gathering of these circles. It's what's going to go. And that we don't need to be so concerned about the numbers, but who is supposed to be here is exactly who is supposed to be here. And that this is good. Get it going, get a seed going, do it again, and make a place for the native people to come. So is there any questions on that, those prophecies? But it's a very good time for us in the terms of these prophecies. Also, then what we'd like to talk about is a little bit about the steps. When I come into AA, my sobriety birthday is August 10th, 1978. And I had a hard time coming into AA at first. It didn't make no sense to me, but I kept coming back and going drinking again, and coming back and going drinking again. And finally, I guess I drank what I was supposed to drink. You know, and I guess it's because of alcohol. I kept coming back. It wasn't for anything else. But on my journey to get here, I lost, like some others, everything. I lost family, respect. All of those things went. But it always had a hard time, you know, even like with a big book. They say the instructions are in that book, and I would look for those instructions, and I could never, you know, ever see them. I couldn't figure out, you know, what they were talking about. So I managed to get a sponsor, and that sponsor helped a lot. And so as I got sober for a couple years, then I happened to, even though I was sober for a couple years, I always felt something was missing. There was just something not right, but then I was kind of used to that anyway, so it wasn't like it was a surprise. So then as things progressed, I happened to run into one of our elders who also is in recovery, and it was then he said, you have to go back to the culture. He says, you never know who you are unless you go back to that culture, because I had left it. Even though I was raised, you know, by my grandfather and stuff, and it was done in a, you know, in a good way. So then I went back there and started to look at the culture. Then I started to see that the program and the steps, they were the culture and the program, it was kind of the same thing, but just said different ways. And I'll just make this remark, because and maybe someday I'll change my mind. But, you know, I'll just say kind of what I see right now, And not everybody agrees with this, but that's okay too. But when I look at myself as an Indian person in recovery, and then talking to some other people, what I found out was, and I'm saying this with the highest respect that I can say, I always respect the AA. It's the best program for the alcoholics that's on the whole earth. But one of the things, I think there's a thing in a big book, it talks about that sometimes maybe the Creator will reveal more when we're ready. So one thing I like about that big book, it doesn't say you have to do nothing. I guess that's why it was attractive to me, because I didn't like have to's, but it suggested steps, and it's got a real good way of not saying certain things, you know, like at first. But in a way, what I found out was when you look at the design of how the program got designed and everything, it was kind of designed by white middle class males. And I'm saying this with respect, I want to say that, but like when I come to meetings or they say work these steps, in my mind wasn't the things I couldn't hook into what they were saying a lot of times, you know, about Titanics and all this other stuff. I had a hard time looking at that. And so what I started to see was that when you add some of the culture to it, then all of a sudden it would start to make more sense to me. So it's the same thing, but looking at it kind of a different way. I think sometimes I see women struggle, because a lot of the steps is written like about power and ego and, you know, really strong control things. And like where I was raised, I wasn't raised to think like a lot of that way. So when I was looking at unmanageability and stuff, you know, I couldn't quite grasp that. So what we want to share today is maybe just a combination of all of that stuff, my experiences with that, and maybe looking at it from an Indian way, to look at it that way. So one of the things I found is when we look at the steps, kind of how Indian people look at things is in a circle. We know that the Creator made a way, and everything, they say, travels in a circle. The earth is round, the sun goes around, the moon goes around. You have seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter. You have cycle of life, baby, youth, adult, elder. Everything goes in a circle. So when we started to look at the steps in using that circle, what we found out, that you could do the same thing, but do it just in a different way. So it's just like the circle. It's sort of like looking at the earth. The sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. Then there's that, when the sun is up during the day, that's the growing time. And then in the north is like the winter, where old man winter in the wisdom is. So as we started to look at this, we found out if we put steps 1, 2, and 3 in the east, that is like the direction of the sun, then those steps, that direction when you face that new light, you know, new life, well, to that direction, that is about finding God or the Creator or Great Spirit, higher power. So that's steps 1, 2, and 3 is in the east, and that's about finding a relationship with the Creator. Then steps 4, 5, and 6, that's in the south. And that's a direction about finding relationship with yourself. So then, even like we found, as we share a little bit later, when we work the steps, when you do the work on them, you face that way. You work steps 1, 2, and 3. Whenever you sit at the table or wherever you are, you face in the east. Because there's powers that we all know come from that. Then when you turn to the south, that's steps 4, 5, and 6, that's about finding yourself, a relationship with you, the inventory steps. And then steps 7, 8, and 9, that is in the west. That's that forgiveness direction, like the sun going over the horizon, the letting go, that direction. And that is about finding a relationship with others. That's where you establish a relationship with your brothers and sisters. And then steps 10, 11, and 12, that's in the north. And that's that direction of the elders. like that's where the wisdom in that direction comes. So we started to see that when we looked at that going in a circle, then you'd see it's not like a straight line, you know, where you go down a page and then you say, well, what? And I think the other thing that used to baffle me at first when I got a sponsor and I got in the steps, you know, it was, it's like they just say, the steps are in order. See, do step one. Well, what is these other things mean? Don't worry about that. Do step one. You'll know. You know, go to meetings, do all that, and they'd listen. And so I always look forward to the steps with fear. I just, inside of myself was a resistance. It's like, you know, you knew what Donna says, turn your life over to this care. You know, you see, I don't understand that. Why would I want to do that? That doesn't, see, so it was always like a resistance. And it always baffled me that it seemed tone was to work the steps through fear. And a lot of that was just my own tapes, you know, like when I was in the boarding schools or the mission schools, you know. It was always like they always painted a picture of, like, they would teach you about God or whatever. So it seemed like one of the ways they'd always do, like, some of the teachers or parochial schools or whatever, it was always like they'd paint a picture of hell. You know, that's how they motivated you to seek God. So they'd say, you ever been burnt by a match or a fire? And you go, yeah, I have. So, well, your whole body is going to burn. All over, just blisters. You're going to be away forever. See? Then they would say things like, you ever been thirsty? So out in the woods all day, no water? I say, yeah, ain't no water in hell. Your tongue gets big and your body's going to be all blistered. Now you want to see God. And you say, well, yeah, I do. Right? So it was like you always had like the flames of hell licking your ass, you see, to see God. And so there's always this resistance, you know, but kind of the way, you know, that I grew up. It wasn't a positive experience. I didn't see God because it was good or like the culture. It was always the flames of hell, see, kind of licking your way there. And so there's always a resistance, you know, to these steps. Even though when I come in, I was ready, you see, to do them. But then as I saw later on, there's other ways to look at things. And the elders, they tell us, they say, there's always two points of view of the world. They say one point of view of the world is a point of view of the mouse. The mouse, you see. So the mouse gets up in the morning, and all the grass is bigger than the mouse. Every rock is big. Every gully is, everything is an obstacle. So that mouse goes along, see. Oh my God, ain't this awful? Oh, look at this. The grass is tall. Look at the rock. Oh, this big valley. Oh, I'm just not going to make it. It's going to be a real bad day. See. Well, at the same time, there's a point of view of the eagle. So the eagle is flying up there looking at the same thing the mouse is looking at. And it's looking down at that mouse. It says, mouse, why are you so worried? Lighten up, mouse, you know. Don't take it so serious. So there's also two points of view, you see, for everything. And so we want to kind of spend some time looking at things from two points of view. Now looking at also about the steps is we found this in what always makes me comfortable. Indians always learn the best when they know the whole first. Show that big picture first and then you can go work the parts. But if you just show a little part and you can't see the whole, then you tend to want to resist. So I used to wonder, I say, why is there always, you hear people say, I'm stuck in this step, and I'm afraid of this one, and I can't do this, and inventory is negative, and this is, you know, it's always like a, and I says, it seems strange to me that the Creator would give a program to recovering people and then make it a fear program. I said, it doesn't make sense that He would do that. See, that maybe there's another point of view. Maybe that's a point of view of the mouse. Maybe there's another point of view of how to look at this. Is it possible to come in and work the steps and look forward to them? That you anticipate doing the next one instead of looking at the resistance, you know, of it all. So As we continue to go back to the culture and learn some of those things, and I found that there was other ways to look at the steps in their recovery, and to look at it from a Native point of view just started to really make sense to me. See, I'm not afraid of the steps at all today. There are places in there, you know, where things go on, but I always look forward to making that change. So what we'll be using a lot in this morning is we will be talking about these steps from a medicine wheel point of view, from the circle point of view. So pretty much it's like Sam read, we'll be looking at some of the prophecies, some of the medicine wheels, the cycle of life. And in doing that with the intent of sharing some information that will allow one to look forward to working those steps. And then we'll look at an overview of the steps, and then we'll spend primarily the late morning and the afternoon doing a lot of workshops. Also, for those, we'll try to take breaks, but every 45 minutes. I believe in taking frequent breaks, so we're not going to be sitting here. And if there are any questions as we go through this, please feel free to just raise your hand or whatever is your customary way of signifying that you have a question to ask. Derek, could you hand out those workbooks too? Also, we'll give you a workbook, and then we'll explain that, kind of go through that workbook so we're kind of familiar with that also. But in looking at these steps, what I want to kind of do is tell you a story about something that happened to me when I was 4 years sober. Because it's very important, I think, for us to locate. When I come into recovery, I had lost everything and was in debt and lots of things like that. And I managed to get sober, going to AA and getting a sponsor eventually. So over the next, as I come in, the first year was crazy as heck, and then you know, the second year, and then by the time, you know, 3 years or so, it was sort of like I did have a rug again, and there was some sanity on that rug. I had a res car with some good tires, and I wasn't moving every month or playing those games and paying my bills, getting responsible again. And so it was going pretty good by the time I was getting three and a half years sober. But then what happened was I must have been about 4 years sober, and all of a sudden it was just like somebody took that rug again and just upset it all. I was in trouble at work. I was in trouble in my relationship. I hated going to meetings. I set meetings and they just stunk, you know, and my sponsor got stupid, and This book, I had read every damn thing in it, and I didn't want to see this crap again. I didn't want to pray. I couldn't work steps. I didn't want to work them. And I wanted to run. See, I was having a hard time. And I really didn't want to go to meetings. So after a while, I thought, you know, I better go see somebody. So I went to see this one elder in Denver that I used to go see a lot. And so always by the time I see him, then I'm just really scattered and just blah, 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 just rambling all over the place. So when I go see him, he sits in the backyard and he'll grab a chunk of wood and he'll whittle with his knife, you know, waiting for me to get done. Just shakes his head like that. And so I got through all what I had to get through. And so then finally he said to me, he said, well, how long are you sober now? Exactly. I said, well, 4 years, and I think it was like a week. And he says, well, he says, you're right on schedule. And you know how you hate to hear that when they talk, they say things like, you're right on schedule. But he told me, he said, I want to tell you something about that not a lot of people know. And it's to do with growing and do with cycles. See, everything, he says, goes in cycles. And we all participate in a cycle. Like geese, they know exactly when they're supposed to go this way, how long they're supposed to stay, and then they know exactly when to go back. And everything in the whole earth works by a system of order, that there is an order to everything. But he says very often we, as a human being, we think we're the exception. We always think we're the exception, that everything else participates but not us. But he said, I want to talk to you about the seasons of growing, he says, because this will really help you in the recovery. And he said that that every human being, we participate in a four-year growth cycle. That we have 1 year of spring, 1 year of summer, 1 year of fall, and then 1 year of winter. That there is a cycle that we grow through. So when we grow, it's like you don't grow like there's a there down there. When we grow, we travel like this. Spring, summer, fall, winter. We travel in a circle. And every 4 years it takes to make that circle. So I'll just talk about these seasons because I think it's really helps. Because have you ever noticed a lot of times how people seem to get in troubles, what years? 4 to 5, 7 to 8, 11 to 12, 15 to 16. 4 year cycles. You see a lot of people will slip. 4 to 5, 7 to 8. A lot of relationship troubles or divorces and stuff take place in sobriety cycles. So we're going to talk about these seasons, but they're not to do with the seasons outside. They're talking about seasons, inside seasons. So we'll look at some information about these and see if these seasons make sense, these seasons of recovery. And then I'll also talk to them about a little bit in terms of like groups, because we have our groups or organizations, whatever. So I just kind of talk about both of those, but mostly I'm going to talk about personal growing. So in the spring season, in an organization, you'll see these type of characteristics. Like when something first starts out, even like how this conference started, first one, see? A lot of hope, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. I wonder who's coming. I wonder if they are going to show up. So you have all these questions when you first start. So at an individual level, you know how like an oak tree, see the oak tree standing out in the forest like that, nothing's going on? Then unknown to the oak tree, that sap, it starts to work its way up into a kind of a form of life. It starts to work its way up inside of that tree. But at first, the oak tree don't know it. So a lot of times we come into recovery at first, you'll notice other people will notice things before we notice them ourselves. So it's like that oak tree is standing out there, or our friends will come up and they'll say, gee, you look different. What'd you do? Bit your hair different or not? Something? Nah, same old way. I've been wearing it for 10 years. Ain't nothing going on here. See, then a couple days later, you'll see people will come up and they'll say, you get different clothes or something? Is this something about you seems to be different? Nah, same old rags I've always had. See, ain't nothing going on here. Then maybe a couple days later, a week later or something, they'll kind of kid you. They'll say, what'd you do? Go snag a new man or something? There's just something different about you. So the other people will notice a change going on, but usually inside of ourselves we don't. But the day comes when you get up and you walk into the mirror, you know, in the breakfast or whatever, in the bathroom, and all of a sudden you look in your own eye and you know something's going on. You know, you don't have any idea what it is, but you kind of know that it's going on. You're not sure, but you know. So it's like when you look in the mirror and you realize that. See, then what you do is you close the door so nobody's looking, and you look at yourself, you know, really good in that mirror. And then you say, is this like how an oak tree would bud? You know, you get those little buds start to appear on its branches. That's when you notice it. You don't know what's going on, but you just kind of look in that mirror and you say, check myself out. I think I'm budding, you know. So you just kind of know things are going on, but you don't know for sure. And most people that get into recovery, you kind of sense that. So then you go through that first year, and if you take a look what happens to that oak tree, all that really happens is those little buds, they break open and things start to turn into young leaves, and the leaves don't have shape yet. But over that first year, a shape starts to form. Little things start to, like attitudes. I start to believe this. I see hope. I get a car. I get a job. I keep it. I quit lying. I'm getting responsible. Just very, very slowly, these little buds start to happen. So we go through that first year, and that's just that budding season. Then we come to the second season, that's called the summer season. And it's during the summer seasons that those buds seem to just kind of solidify. They get the shape that they're supposed to be. And all of them do that. And if you step back and you look at that tree kind of has a shape. Not like it was shaped in the spring, but it kind of has a shape of how that tree is going to be, you see, for that season. So at an individual level, it's sort of like things just kind of solidify. You get a job and you keep it, see, a few bucks extra in the checkbook or whatever, and you do the checkbook and you balance it, see, just kind of like responsible things. You tell somebody you're going to be there to make coffee, you get there. You say you're going to be here, you usually do. If you don't, you call. But you start to get some kind of sense of responsibility. So during that second year, it's just kind of a smoothing out place. It just kind of smooths out. So you hear people say, well, that first year was just crazy and heck, now the work begins. And, you know, there's all these little different sayings that we have. So then we come to the end of that second season or that second year, and it's kind of comfortable. For the most part, it's pretty comfortable. Then we think it can't get any better than this. But then lo and behold, the next season approaches. So the oak tree is standing out there with all its green leaves, and all of a sudden it starts to notice it's turning yellow and orange, and there's fruits and harvest and nuts. And so it's like that third year is usually we talk about, like, I'm in the groove. You know, it's sometimes it's like you can't do anything wrong. Just things start to really fall in place, you know, during that third year of sobriety. And you really, you know, things line up, relationships and all that stuff, they just really line up. So in organizations, you'll see those types of characteristics. Even in AA groups or meetings when they form, that third year usually, things are just really in order and see everything is happy. So that oak tree is standing out there, see, during its third season, and it's just saying, they have little things like you'll hear, if it's not broke, don't fix it. See, in other words, don't touch anything. I want it to stay this way forever. This is good, see. I have arrived in sobriety, see. Some people said it was going to take 10 years. I did it in 3. See, look at how my life is. But you see, the oak tree is standing out there, and then one day, the temperature changes just a little bit, and this gust of wind comes along, goes whoosh, and it blows most of the leaves away. So it's the approach, you see, of that winter season. But the oak tree is saying, no problem, the kid's tough here. So I lose a few leaves, see, not a big deal. So about a week later, the temperature changes just a little bit, and whoosh, the oak tree loses more leaves, and the oak tree is standing out there wondering, what the heck is going on? But he's still saying, I can maintain. See, I kind of got it together. So then a few more weeks go along. The few remaining leaves that's hanging on the branches of the oak tree, the wind blows those away too. So in a few more days, the oak tree all of a sudden starts to say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Something's not right here. And it starts to look at the forest, and it sees the forest looks dead. Just a little while before, it was colorful, and everything was together. Or it looked like at work. You say, work sucks. It used to be fun to work here, but it's not fun to work here anymore. So it starts to do an examination of its rug of life, and it looks at the relationship, and it says, you know, this relationship used to be fun. We used to do things like he just sits on the TV, watches what we wouldn't do nothing together. And it's not that great either. Besides, you know, it's just like rut time. And you kind of look at yourself in the mirror, you know, some mornings, like during that beginning of winter season, you go, eh, you know. It's like you start to not to be able to stand yourself. And then you just start to, like, something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. You just sense, like, I must have done something wrong, but you see. And then you go to meetings, and you find out meetings suck too. Jesus, what, I mean, this makes no sense. You know, I'm supposed to go to these meetings to get something, and That guy there talked 23 minutes. He didn't say anything. That one judged this one and that one did this. I can't stand those meetings. See, you call up your sponsor and he's a space case or she's a space case. They make no sense. You try to read the big book, can't read the big book. Try to pray, you don't feel like praying, not really. You know it's just lip service. Besides that, it doesn't work. So you see, it's during that winter season, you kind of have withdrawal. You kind of want to, like, be alone. You just, all of a sudden, something seems to not be right. Now, there's a wintertime prayer, and it goes something like this. We say, one morning, we say to the Creator, we say, you know, I know in the big book it says I'm not supposed to pray for myself. But in case you're making an exception, I have a little list I have been thinking about. So here goes, in case you're listening. So I'll put these in a priority, in an order of which I would like them granted, just in case you were willing to make an exception. One, I would like a cabin in the mountains. Two, I want to go there by myself. Like, you're a man, I know you know I love him. I know it doesn't look like lately that I do, but I really do. But I don't want him along. See, the kids, let him keep them. These kids are just driving me nuts, you know. I can't stand this. I'll take the dog. I'll take a bunch of books to read. I'll take a big pot of a chicken noodle soup with an infinite supply of fried bread. I'll take no television. I want no television. But I want to go there by myself. I don't want nobody to know where I am. I just want to be alone. So in that winter season, it's a season of withdrawal. That's good. We're supposed to. It's a time of reflection. Now, people will do a lot of dumb things during winter season if they don't know about winter. They will. A lot of times you'll see it's called burnout at work. It's time to move on. See, burnout, what happens? 3 to 4. See? It's time to move on. It used to be fun. Look, these managers here, they just got everything all screwed up. If they just left it alone, it would have been good, but they had to go mess with it. Now everybody's fighting. It's not fun to work here anymore. See, and you look at the relationship, and you just drive you nuts. You don't want to, you know, participate in it, and you feel guilty because you're thinking that way, but it just doesn't seem right. People will leave jobs. They'll go take new jobs during the winter season. So they'll go take a new job, not necessarily because this job is really good and because it'll benefit them. So they'll take the new job to get the heck out of that one. See, so they leave for the wrong reason. They very often move across country, do things, you see, during that winter season. Many people will leave relationships that didn't need to have been left. Things could have been worked through. Years, 4 to 5. The next season, years, 7 to 8, 11 to 12. 15 to 16. Many people slip in sobriety years 4 to 5, 7 to 8, 11 to 12 because of that winter season. See, they do dumb things because all of a sudden it seems like something's wrong, but nothing is wrong. Because you see, during the winter season, there's three questions that we lose the answer to. There's three questions that we get the answer to when we first go into our spring season. Like in the Indian cultures, our ceremonies, our dances, those, that culture things that we do are always about putting us in touch with the answer to three questions. And that if I know the answer to these three questions, I can pretty much take life on its terms. If I know the answers to why am I? See, what is my purpose? Who am I? What is my identity? And where am I going? That I know a direction. So in my mind, we'll always feel comfortable, grounded, centered, if I know the answer to those three questions. Why am I? Who am I? And where am I going? But if I lose the answer to one or more of those three questions, then I start to appear to be lost. Crazy? Insane? If I don't know why I am? If I don't know who I am anymore? See, now, I think it's important for us to know that during that fourth year, like during the fourth year, you work a set of steps different than you do the first three, right? You always work in harmony with the season. Now, like, how do you know the season that you're in? Well, see, so you know, am I in spring, am I in fall, am I in summer, or what? It's kind of easy. One way is tomorrow morning when you get up, get a cup of coffee or tea, whatever, and you just sit and think, when was the last time that my life really turned to crap? When did it really go to hell? So if it was 2 years ago, then that's winter. So if it's now, then I'm in spring or I'm in summer, you see. But very often you'll see that these seasons of sobriety are right in sync with when you first came in to a program. That starts out your season when we come into recovery. And these seasons are not necessarily in harmony with the seasons outside. They're in harmony with seasons in here. So it could be winter outside, and you could be in your spring, your personal springtime of growth. Now you take being in a relationship. A relationship also will have a cycle of seasons. So every 4 years, typically a relationship will go through a type of a need for renewal. Because what happens in when we look at how do we grow in circles. So we really grow in a direction like this, like in a virtual ring. But what happens is, say we go spring, summer, fall, winter, what happens is we transition to a new orbit. And this is why we appear to be nuts. You see, when we go along our first seasons and we get our leaves, what are our leaves? My new truths, my clarity, what I learned through praying. I know the way to go in the big book. I know about acceptance. If this goes wrong, read 449. Sponsors tell us. We go there again and again and again. Now all of a sudden we know when this goes wrong, do this. We start to get it. See, when you get mad, instead of letting your lips move, zip your lips. See, go to the 11th step, pause, ask for the credit for the right thought or action. And when we don't let our lips move against other people, we start to get along with them. It's like we start to get that. But the other way was let the lips move first. So we start to, see, these leaves are these little techniques and these skills that I have learned. And we build this tree of who I am now. Then we develop our way of kind of getting along in life. But what happens is the Creator causes a shift to take place in the unseen world. We shift. So now we're traveling at a different momentum. See, a different speed. Lights. But at the very center of my being, in the center of the atom system, I'm connected. In the very middle of everything, see, I'm connected. So let's say we put you under that microscope. Focus down, say Jerry. Then we would see that you couldn't tell me from you at that level. It's just a system of atoms that makes up a human being. But the very center of your system, we are connected like this. At that very center. Now, when we talk about this interconnected system, so that means then you are connected to everyone here. In that same way, we're connected to every plant, every rock, every tree, every bird, every insect. Because they're made up of the same things, but the electrons change. But at the center of all things, we're connected. But then we say, well, so what? You know, like, big deal. Now, have you ever noticed how you can tell when you're not liked? See. Have you ever noticed how you can tell when you're not wanted? Have you ever noticed how you can tell when somebody thinks you're dumber than dirt? Have you ever gone into a store as an Indian person and you know you're being watched? I mean, they're really cool. They watch you in that mirror. And you know that they think you're going to go take something. You ever watch that? See? Now, why is that? You see, if my thinking is in harmony with those principle laws and values, where they are is at that very center. That's where they are located. So if my thinking is in harmony, and because we're connected, you'll be able to sense that. But if they're out of harmony, you will sense that too. Now, it's not the words that makes it so. There's something else how we can tell. See, if it was the words that made it so, I would be able to say, I love you. And it'd be so. But let's suppose I said that to you 5 minutes to one Saturday night in the country and western bar just before it closed. Right? Well, see. So if I say I love you, true love. See. Haven't we met before? See, we've been together in another lifetime. Right? Whatever it is. See? You look like someone I know, don't you? See? So if I have just using the words, but my intent is something else, see, so she might say, what is he after? So if I'm out of spirit and intent, because we're connected in the unseen world, you will always pick up spirit and intent. See, if it's in harmony, you will sense it, but if it's out of harmony, you will sense that too. So if somebody doesn't like Indian people, even though they say, oh, see, do you know this? I know this one Indian lives in South Dakota. Do you know him? And they'll give you their name. You know how they do that? See, some of my best friends are Indians. But if they are speaking out of spirit and intent, then you will be able to sense that. See? Or if you are speaking out of spirit and intent, someone will be able to sense that. So a lot of the things we are looking at in the steps is to do with looking at also the unseen world. Where have I been out of spirit and intent? Because if I think that I can, see, sometimes they call it sweet lips training. You know, where I got the stuff and I'm walking around trying to be cool and trying to be not who I am and all this stuff. Other people will pick up on that because I'm out of spirit and intent. They will just sense that. So very often I have lived out of spirit and intent for a long time when I'm drinking. And then the certain results I get for living out of harmony. See, that's the other road. So the steps is about finding out where that is and letting me come back so that I speak from that place of principles that the steps talks about. We live this principle way of life. So it means I come back to that road. And I have to start looking at designing in my mind a way of living in harmony with the unseen world. But very often we're under the delusion I can get away with it if I got good words. But we cannot. Not in relationships, not to one another. See, what step you on? See, you see that? No, you didn't take about 3 weeks to get in a program. The best place to hide is, say, step four. Especially the old-timers come around. What step you on? Four. They leave you alone. See? Or they'll come in and say, what step you on? Well, I'm between step two and three. How do you get between step two and three? Well, I'm on steps one, two, and three. Or you're a waltzer, right? One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. See, so it's about knowing ourselves and how do we work. So we need to know, the elders said, it's interconnected. You cannot get away with nothing. You can think you can, but you cannot. That there is an unseen world, in the unseen world where we're all connected, you cannot hide. But you will think that you can. So it's about getting right with that. So as we start to look at the steps, see, we look at the whole thing, not just the piece. Everything that we do, you see, is a balance. It's about harmony. Conflict is what will guide us to harmony. Conflict is going to be the friend in the step, not an enemy. Because you experience a conflict, see, many times in our religious training we are taught when there's conflict, you're wrong. See, there's a sin. You sinned. You know, and so when we grow, like the same elder I was talking to you about earlier, when I was about 2 years sober, I went up to him and I said, I had just had it with growing, you know, working steps and praying, doing all this stuff, because I said, you know, I said, trying to walk this red road, man, this is tough, you know. And he said, well, let me show you something. So he took a stick in his backyard and he drew a line on a road, on a ground like that. And he said, now I want you to walk on that road, on that stick, on that line, 1 foot behind the other. So I got on that line like that, and I started walking like this, and he'd walk right side of me like this, and all of a sudden, he gave me a big push. And I'd go way off this side. He said, get back on that line. So I get back on there. You say, walk. So I walk like that, and then you push me this way, and I go way off that line. Get back on that line. So I get back there, so you walk like that. So he just, 7-8 times, he pushed me like that. So then he said to me, he said, when you are growing, he said, what he says is you are walking a red road, not a red line. So he took that stick and he drew a line way on each side of where my footprints was. He said, that's how wide the red road is. He said, you're trying to walk a red line. It's a red road. That the mistake is just as sacred as being on track. The mistake is just as sacred. He said, you need to respect your defects. Because it is through the defect that you learn the knowledge of the Great Spirit. That's where he talks to you. So he said, don't be criticizing yourself when you make that mistake over there. Because that happened, it's not wrong, sin, guilt, all that stuff. He said, you're really there to look for the correction. Always looking for the correction. So he said, in a way, lighten up. That road that the Creator made for us to walk, the red road, is a big, wide highway. Everything on that road is sacred. That life and growing. See, the Creator made us to learn by trial and error. Everything He made learns. You take a little baby, learns to walk. Right? When they get that age, they hold your fingers like that, and they learn to walk. First thing they do is bam, right down on their butt they go. Make a mistake right away. Now you can imagine the adults, what we do to that little baby, we go, all right, you did it. See, that little kid just, you know, puts his fingers back up and gets back up. Smashes his head to the left. Right? All right, you did it. To the right. Back. Well, all that time they're learning balance and they're learning all that stuff. Then seen about 3-4 months and all of a sudden, see, they're just walking. How did they learn to do that? All by mistakes. By trial and error. And we respect that. But that's how the Creator made us to learn. Is by going off track, on track, off track. So we need to respect ourselves when we come into this, and working the steps is about